Hello, my name is Tucker Johnson, and I am your host today as we experience NIMSY Live, where we talk about the latest and greatest in translation, localization, internationalization, culturalization, and all that fun stuff global companies need to delight their international customers. On this program, we like to invite guests who like to have fun and have some value to add for our audience of globalization professionals. I'm always eager to provide a platform to those with a good story or a good data set. So let us know if there are any topics you'd like covered or guests we should reach out to for future episodes. If you aren't already subscribed or following NIMSY Insights, make sure that you are doing that. If you follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, your social media platform of choice, then you will be one of the first to know when we schedule new live streams like this or when NIMSY Insights publishes new industry research for the language services industry. Today, I'm just going to get into the topic today, but a quick plug for Localization World is happening next week, and we have kind of a sneak peek with our topic today of a presentation that will be happening at Localization World. I will let our guests talk a little bit more about that, but NIMSY Insights will be there in full force as well. So if you're going to be there, make sure to hunt us down, the NIMSY Insights team, also the multilingual media team, and we would love to talk to you there. So today, I'm going to jump right into it. In today's episode, I'm talking to Wei Zhang, the VP of Technology over at our Syntific. We've had Wei on the program before. He's not a stranger. Many of you know him. You've seen him speaking at different industry events. And today we're going to be exploring practical ways AI and large language models can be leveraged to manage the localization process. It's a topic that is frequently talked about. If you're going to be at Localization World, I expect you'll be hearing a lot more about large language models and AI. But many people I've spoken to have been asking for some specific practical examples of real tools that are already leveraging these emerging technologies. So, for this reason, we've asked Wei from Syntific to come on the show and give us some practical use cases and demo their new solution, Flow, which is an AI-enabled localization accelerator that allows users to create and manage customized AI prompts, apply AI-infused QA checks and automations, implement fine granular customizations, and onboard custom private models. So in today's episode, this is kind of the sneak peek of a longer demonstration that's going to be happening at Localization World, where Syntific's Jonas Ryberg and Marisa Bell Wendler from Amazon Music will be sharing their firsthand experiences and expertise in a session hosted by Donna Parrish. So like I said, if you're going to be at Local World, make sure to check that session out. I know it's already on my calendar. So Wei, as I already mentioned, is the VP of Technology and the mastermind behind this new tool. Wei, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tucker. Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to come back again. Thank you so much. As you mentioned, we will be in the locker room. We will have some shows, but we also have a booth. I will be there to do the real demo, to talk to the people who are interested in the system and the case studies. But thank you so much. Before I jump into the demo, I would like to do a very quick self-introduction again. And my name is Wei Zhang. It's a very popular Chinese name. According to some reports, there are more than 500 people have the same Chinese name as me. So I'm leading the R&D team, AI localization R&D team at Syntific. And I've been Syntific for about 2 years. And before that, I had the honor to work in the large companies, Microsoft and Amazon, for about 20 years by leading the localization teams. Syntific is based in Seattle, Washington. It's a very unique company because we provide both of the AI and localization services and technologies for a long time, and far before the ChatGPT had released in year 2022. Before then, we had to work on the AI and localization combination. So in the past year, we have learned a lot about building the AI-based assistants and the solution for our customers. We have a large customer groups, and we have learned a lot. Today, I would like to share those case studies and the tools we built. How can we integrate AI into the localization services and the workflow?
Yeah, thank you. And I'll just back that up there. When I'm consulting with clients here at NIMSY Insights, we're talking about AI and different vendors out there. Syntific is a name that frequently comes up. and I say, you guys were doing AI before it was cool. Nowadays, everybody is talking about AI, but I know we've been following you for quite some time here at NIMSE, and you guys have been working on in this space for a long time. And just recently, with the proliferation, everyone's talking about it, everyone's doing it. You guys are set up pretty well to provide that expert advice to your clients. So I can't think of someone better to have on the show today. Speaking of everyone talking about localized or AI and localization, there's been a lot of speculation about large language models and what role they will be playing, are playing currently, and also will be playing in language services. So today, the reason we invited you on the show is I want to stay away from speculation and stick more to some practical applications. So because we're going to be talking about specifics and practical applications, I wanted to use your tool, Flow, as an example to talk about what are some of the things that AI can help with. So can you perhaps just start off by telling us a little bit about this new tool, Flow, and perhaps provide a quick demo for us?
Sure. I will do a very, very quick demo for two tools. One is the content localization. We call it Scientific Flow. The second tool I will do another quick demo is the multimedia AI localization tool.
Yes.
We call it Scientific Flow Multimedia. Let me share my screen. And can you see my screen now?
Yep. You're all set.
All right. Yeah. So the challenge for the why we're building this, because if we want to do the AI localization, right? So most of the customers are already large customers, already have the current localization production pipeline. You know, they want to add the AI as a feature into there, but it's so hard, you have to take the translation out and stuff. That's why the reason we built the tool like this, to integrate AI services with your current system. So we require login, but we also support SSO login after you log in. So it's logging in. So this is the landing page. You can say we have all the features and the AI set up and everything on the last slide. So first thing we do this, we can onboard any AI model, because today in the world, there are so many models in the world, right? There are ChatGPT, there are Llama, there are Bedrock, there are so many different customers have a different preference and also have a different policies to choose. So we have our scientific trained model, scientific vertical localization model, well trained for all the localization services. But in the meantime, we also support customers to be able to, for example, let me try this. You can bring any model you want. So you will be able to own the model. For example, I want to bring the OpenAI, I want to bring the 4.0. So you can just put your key in here, API key in here, which is managed by yourself. And then, so your model will be listed here. And you can start using your own model to do the work. That's the first thing we do.
So you're not tied. And also you're not bound to a specific model. It's not like if you use this tool, you have to use Scientific's model.
Yes. We have a very, as I mentioned, we have a well-trained working point of Scientific models for most of the features. But if you want to bring your own model, that's the one of the major concerns for many customers. They want to build their own model, they want to secure their model as well. So, and after you bring your model, so we can have a lot of AI features integrated already. For example, one of the very popular feature, which is I want to review my translation, right? I want to QA my translation. For this example, we only have 4 segments. So this the source is English and target is Chinese. I happen to read the language. You can say some translations are okay. This is Monday, it is one in Chinese, it's one, it means Monday. And this is a Tuesday, but here this is Wednesday, it's wrong. And also for this one as a 3 placeholder, this has 2. So after we do this, so you can just click the button and AI will automatically give the AI score, the linguistic score for this translation. You can do the first one, it's 100%. The second one, the AI detect is wrong, it's a 50. The score 50 is very low. I will tell you later how we categorize this. So and the this third is, one is lower.
This is the QA functionality of the AI. This is super interesting to me because, like I said, I've been talking a lot about this and I've heard a lot and I've seen a lot of presentations about QA, but I think this is the first time I'm actually seeing it in practice, what it looks like.
Thank you. So the 100% means that it's not only the linguistic score, it's also the AI competence. We combine the linguistic score, the translation errors we defined I will tell you more about the problem and how we define the score system. But here, 100% means it's not only the accurate, I can say there is the line with the tone, the translation is accurate, but also we are confident with this. This is another example. Translation is fine, but AI is not 100% confident because this source is complicated with many technologies or terminologies, and the sentences are long. So AI is not 100% confident. It deducts five points. Let's show you how we combine the linguistic score and also the confidence of the AI. So that's why we can score this to give the human in the loop to review this. For example, if we say if the score is 100%, I don't need a human review, or we can do sampling review. Those are wrong. So AI give the detailed descriptions why it's wrong. So my post editors can come here to do the post editing directly, or direct adapt AI suggest translation. For here, it is, you know, the deduct, we still need to recommend human review because of complex. So this is one example. Another example, popular features is, this is interesting. In the traditional localization, right? So we can validate the translation, but we can never do this. For example, this is reverse the translation, just give you the better view. This is sources of Chinese and target is English. This is go away, for example. This is go away, very rude. And the translation is please go, right? Our translation always depends, you know, in the traditional way, it depends on the style of the translator, the linguistic. So check the tone, check the attitude. That has been the challenge by the traditional machine translation engines. But look at this. So we ask AI to check. So this calling added by AI. So this is the first one. It says inconsistent. The source text is formally, it's informal rude. Will the target is applied and formal. You can say AI can automatically detect the tone, detect the style, detect based on the style guide. We can also detect it's not aligned with the style guide. So those information will help us to keep improving the translation qualities beyond the traditional way if the translation is accurate or not. Another great example. I will show more during the discussion. I want to show you one more. So here it is. Look at this. I want to look at this. This is still the reverse translation from Chinese to English. There are many terminologies. What we did is we upload the terminologies into the system. You have the terms list. We ask the AI to detect the new terminology by comparing your existing glossary. So what AI did? AI automatically detect the new terms from each sentence, each segment, and to show them. We also have more metadata. I just couldn't show it here. So we have the descriptions. We give the translation suggestions. We also give the context information from outside of the content. So you can do the post editing here as well. Those are some key features. We have more. I will show you later.
I want to bring up really quickly here on screen because we're getting questions from the chat here. Eric asks, how does the context dimension of fuzzy matches in the translation memory interplay with the AI scores? Or is this deliberately exactly moving beyond TMS? Like, are we transcending TMS, or is this working together with the TMS?
It's working together with TMS. Okay. Usually what happened is, I didn't show you like this. When I build a project, right, let's say this one. So the first thing you do is you upload your files. So what do we support? We support all the file formats, say XLIF, all kind of XLIF. You can upload a Word server, anything, right? And also we support all the current text format, even Excel. So what it does mean is you can download, or we have the APIs. You can download your TMS files after the machine translation, your TMS system, and then upload here. And after this been done, let me go back to my project. So remember we did a scoring system, right? So, and then look at the result. And you can export this. You can download it back. You can download the result back from here and upload it back to the same format to TMS system. This is why we're building this. We want to build an add-on service for any TMS system, can work with them directly together, integrate the features into kind of TMS system. So in TMS, there are different steps. We can do the source content analyzing after you upload the create project in TMS. you can just directly download it, like this tool to do the source content analyzing, term mining, the GIF machine translation, AI translation, and put it back to TMS. That's one example we can handle from the end to end. A second example, you already have your trained machine translation engine in your TMS system. What you can do this after you recycle into the fuzzy matching MMP, you can download the files from there, and we can help you to use AI to fix the fuzzy matching and to help you to identify which machine translations are good enough, you can skip the human processing, which are not. So we can give all the suggestions, and then you can download it and insert back to your TMS system. This is why we want to make sure they can work with any TMS system. We support the manually download. You can create any project by any languages. But in the meantime, you can also use APIs and connectors to do this.
Yeah, so it's not just working with the TMS. It sounds like it's improving the TMS. It's helping to improve the quality.
Exactly.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes. Many TMS systems, they're trying to build AI features that can build a term mining, that can build, but there's no such a system can be fully independent from any TMS system. It's more like a service for services. As I mentioned, you can build your own, you can bring your own model. We train the model for you, right? So I will talk about the model training shortly.
Okay.
And also, look at this. This is another cool feature. We support you to create your own prompt. So you don't have to be limited on the system prompt we created. You can create your own prompt. For example, I went to this one I just created. I want to detect any emotional words, you know, like a sad and a happy and the stuff. So you can create your own prompt. You can use it immediately. So I'll pause here that we can talk more about this.
Very cool. All right, keep going.
Another quick demo. Is that okay? I want to show you another cool thing. I'm very, very proud. Let me share another screen.
All right. Just give me a sec. Well,
can you see my screen now?
Well, you bring it up. Yep.
Okay. So this is for multimedia. So we showed how the AI can work with the content localization, integrate your TMS and adding the traditional features and the QA and the AI features. But how about multimedia? So this one, let me show you this. So you can add any videos into here. Mm-hmm. So let me show you the one you can add any videos here. It's automatically added quickly. You can in the second, and it's done. So after this, you can choose the target language we want to translate the video to be translated. It's not the traditional way to translate. The original video is just a pure, I will show you the video. It's a purely just a video. There's no subtitling, there's no voiceover, it's only English only. And then you can choose the voice examples. You can say male, female. You can hear the examples.
你好啊，我亲爱的朋友，希望你的每一天都是美好。
You can hear the female examples as well.
你好啊，我亲爱的朋友，希望你的每一天都是美好愉快的。
I want to use this. And there are advanced settings as well, you know, to tell you how to do this. Let's try this. So immediately the video will be, let me go back to this one. This is another good example, this one. The video will be immediately translated and localized, which means the voiceover and the subtitle.
但您如何防止欺诈者窃取您的资产？网络犯罪呈上升趋势，仅在过去24个月中，就有40%的企业报告欺诈行为有所增加。
Okay, I have questions because this is really cool.
Yes.
So the original was just an English voiceover. There weren't any English subtitles or anything. And It creates this localized with voiceover as well as the captions, the subtitles on the bottom.
Exactly.
Now, my technical question, there's music in the background. Like, does the AI automatically remove the English voiceover? And how does it keep the music?
Yes. Yes, we use the technology to integrate the music, to separate the music, the track, and also to add the English and Chinese voiceover in there. I will show you the Japanese shortly. And also look at this. So they also give you the quick summary of what the video is talking about. And we also categorize the video by the AI. We also find the keywords in there. We also detect the new terminologies in there. We also detect the product names and the tone of this video. And this one, So the first thing we did is we automatically added the English detector text-to-speech English subtitle, right, with scripted. And then they use the translation. AI created translation. The translation, remember, a little bit of citing there. So what we did is that we keep the background music. We have the voice accelerated combination with the automatic slower. And this, you can change the translation by AI here. You can say make the translation longer, shorter. You can fix the spelling. You can improve the writing. And also, you can say change the tone. I don't like this. This is too much. You know, maybe for my local country, I want to be more friendly or more casual. You can change it immediately. So you can say change it friendly. So AI automatically creates a new translation for you. You can say accept this. And then that will become the new translation, say the color is changed. And then you can retranslate it immediately. Or you didn't like the voice, you can change another male voice and retranslate it again. So this is translating again. It will come back. Let me show you the Japanese version. It just created the same video. Just click the button, create the Japanese version.
全ての取引が重要であることを知っていますが、詐欺師があなたのものを盗むのをどのように防いでいますか？
So you see the differences, right? It's not a traditional voice-over engine. So we did a combination. We did a lot of local technologies divided by us by combining multiple models. We train the models. We identify the tone. We identify the smooth of the speech, adding those, but human in the loop.You can always, when you click this, it's always directly jump to the video part, and then you can do the post editing. So more importantly, after you do the human post editing, the feedback loop happens. So the AI, your model, will learn what's happening, why you didn't like this, which part you changed the tone, you changed the name, so that will learn. So that's a quick demo for how we do the multimedia.
Well, this is super cool. I want to get to some questions here because they're filling up in chat. I want to stay on top of them. Eric asks, could the summary feature feed into shaping audio description? This could be a really, yes. really good use case for it.
Yes. Yeah. We are, as I mentioned, we have been working on the AI for many, many years. Video indexing is one of the key features.Not only the summary, we actually can work on the indexing the video, see what's really happening. You know, how many objects, what's the OCR. We do a lot. We haven't done this here. You know, for this example, we are doing the more feature adding the OCR. We can localize the text in the presentation part as well. We just haven't added those. And there's many features added. But the large language model is separate from the multimedia model. We use that to optimize the engine.Detect the content, improve the translation. Remember, we also detect the tone and the emotion. So it helps us to adjust the speed and the pronunciation guides for this too. That's why it sounds very natural. It's much better than the purely voiceover engine.
Wow, very, very cool. Next question from Bellin, NIMSY alumni here. Can you post-edit the AI dubbing raw output in your tool?Because in my experience, 99% of times, the automated generated voice synthesis needs text to make it usable.
Exactly. Let me go back to this. So when you upload this, we also ask you, do you want to upload the RFT files and SRT files and others? We can work with your current. You can also, after this, you can download the files.You can download the files. We also give all the download SRT files and the original ones and everything. So yes, we work with the current assistants. We understand how important you customize this, how important you already have the machine translation engine. You can load your SRT files if you have one already.
Awesome. Yeah, and I saw it tweaks, Bellin. Sorry, I'm not quick enough. Very cool. Next question here from...Afina asks, quick question. When we have a conversation between two people, let me make it bigger here. When we have a conversation between two people, let's say, does it detect the voiceovers for two people?
Yes.
And can we select more than one? So it does that automatically? So it just detects the different people and you can pick different voices for them?
Yes. This we call the video indexing. Video indexing combines between 12 to 15 technologies. The speaker identification is one of the key one. Even you don't have the face, just the voice, right? The voice part, the speaking part. So AI can automatically detect the conversation. It can label the speaker one, speaker two. The conversation can be across speaker three. So by detecting the voice and the special tone in the voice, AI can identify who was the speaker, and you can add the labels in there. So that's why we do this. We tried that before. It works pretty accurate, but it also depends on the video quality. If I have a very noisy environment or the quality of the video audio quality is not good enough, you may need a human to label them. But for most of the cases, it works fine.
Okay. Very cool. All right. Is there more that you wanted to show in the initial demo?
No, I want to show more with the content localization part, because we want to talk about not only the feature. AI is not about the feature, it's about the services. Let me show my screen again.
All right.
So, but before then, before I talk more, maybe we can just start talking about your questions first, so we can go on to the.
Well, my first question was, I mean, people keep asking questions in the comments section. I don't need to bring up any questions here. But my first question was kind of related to this, about, is this a feature? Is it a technology? Is it a service? This tool seems to blur the line between technology and a service. So how would you say AI-driven tools like Flow should be categorized with these new technologies that are coming out?
Yeah, many people think we're building the AI tool. No, so actually it's a combination of the technology and services, right? So it's actually more turbo to the services. Right. AI is not just a feature. It's more about the whole process of AI model training and customization, human in the loop feedback circle. For example, we helped one of the largest IT company to develop the AI QA feature for linguistic. Initially, by using one of the most popular AI model, the accuracy rate was about 60% across the languages, no matter. We tried everything, we tried the prompt, we tried everything, it's about 60%. So what we did, we trained the model. You know, we are doing the prompt engineering, we add the RAG in there. We did all the special AI services, but combined the different layers of the prompt processes. So we can dramatically improve more than 90% for all languages, which was the bar by using this feature. So for us, what happened behind the scenes is more important. We work with the customer to define what AI model we're going to use. We define what the data, training data we're going to use. For example, you can say, we want to use my traditional, my existing transition memories terminologies. I have the style guide. You know, some style guides very long. I have a special requirements. Also, I have the bugs reported. I have a thousands bug. We work with you to convert those into the format AI can be used to train, and then continuously to improve. That's the most important part. So what we're really trying to do is we're trying to help customers build their company special or project special AI model only for their services. Some people do that for multimedia, some people do QA, some people do the translation. So those models are dedicated, used, and trained for that purposes. That's why this training part is more, that's why I'm saying it's more like services.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense, because the thing about AI is it needs to be trained, and it's only going to improve. The more you train it, the more you feed it, the more you customize it, the better it's going to get. And you can't talk about human in the loop or expert in the loop if you're talking about just, oh, here's a static piece of technology, go ahead and use it. It's really interesting, and I like how, well, I don't know if I like it, but it's really interesting, I think, how AI and AI related services in our industry are really blurring that line between traditional technology and service offerings.
Go on. Yeah, people, the localization industry has been there for many, many years. As I mentioned, I had to work in large companies before to lead the localization efforts. We had a lot of investments. For example, we built millions of words, translation memories, and thousands of terminologies. We built a QA workflow, and we have 100 pages of the style guide. We still want to protect those investments, right? But adding AI is not replacing those TMICs and existing investments. We want to add the AI features to integrate with the current system workflow and to help to reduce the cost, to improve the quality, improve the efficiency. That's the goal. That's why we're building these standalone add-on services. So any customers, you don't have to worry about the professional AI services. Click the button, and then we can work with you to integrate. That's the dream. That's the dream. I talk to many, many customers that always have questions. They say, I can use the ChatGPT to do the translation, but it's not accurate. It doesn't return the result, and also it's not automatic. How can we do this automatically? That's why we're building the systems.
Well, that is perfect, because that brings us to our next question in chat here. From Krishna asks, how is this tool different with Speechmatics? And I don't know Speechmatics, maybe you do. How is this tool different with Speechmatics? And did your tool provide API services?
We do. We provide the API services. And also, as I mentioned, it's not just the one feature tool. There are many multimedia feature tools. So you can create avatar and stuff. So what we're trying to do is we're trying still targeting to the customer existing workflow and the process and the projects. We combine the multiple models, you know, AI models. We're not just using one. You can actually customize them. If you have your own models, you can define them and customize them. We work with you to link with all the models you have. As I mentioned, you can also upload the SRT files, your current video stuff. So we work with you. Patch your current traditional localization system with the AI feature. That's why we defined our system as different, you know, from all the new AI features, because we want to build that connection for the existing system. It's not a standalone the system to replace your current localization workflow or systems. We're actually trying to add this into that. That's why how I like to work with our customers. We have many, many customers working with us together. So they have a lot of different requests. For example, if you want to give a QA, some customers say, I want to QA my translation between 1 to 5, and some say between 0 to 100, or some one side just yes or no. So those requirements will be converted into the QA features and AI features. We train the model. What means 0 to 1? What means 1 to 5? This stuff. That's why we work with the customers to define the customized features for this. But first thing first, we integrate with them together.
Yeah. So the first thing you do with the customer is you sit down and you understand their requirements, what they need the tool for. Every use case is going to be different. So we're talking about essentially project onboarding here, right? So before any work can get done, you first need to onboard the tool, which I'm sure can present some challenges. What are some of the challenges that you came up with or came up against, I should say, when it comes to project onboarding? And, you know, how have you been addressing those with your clients that have implemented this so far?
Great question. Many customers ask us about. So the first thing we identify, you have to know what you need. You have to know what you are having and how to, for example, we have our current existing TMS systems, how to add this AI service, what kind of service you want to add or integrate with that. That's the first thing, identify the special needs. And the second one is the data security and the compliance, the confidence. By using the AI, you need to be confident, and you need to work with your security team to identify. For our company, we all only allow to use this particular model. Our security team subscribe this for us. The training data will be only used for us. You know, my transition memory will not be leaked. Those things need to be clarified. And of course, that's why we define this. You can log in. That's why you show the login page. You can create the files, upload your translation memory, upload term only for you. There's no one else who will be able to see that. You can define models as well. Another thing, another challenge is the measurement and the KPIs, right? So after I use AI created content, for example, the score, the translation terms, I want to identify the accuracy rate. Or is it 60% accurate, or 90% accurate? I want to know. So doing that, the professional team can help you to use the human in the loop. For example, if you give the score of the translation. So what actually we do is we ask our human and with the special to come here. to review the AI score. You only see for the score system. Let me show you again. For this score, you only see the two columns, AI score and AI comments. Actually, we have more, I have 10 more columns we just didn't show here in the backend. You know, AI give also categorizes what kind of bug it is. It's a linguistic bug, the translation bug, a style guide bug, and what the severity of the bug, what's the category, you know, all the detailed information, including the terminologies and the content. All those information will be signed to the human reviewer. And human reviewer also adjust the score, adjust the comments, see why AI was wrong. And also, the human will also categorize and adjust the bug category, and then put those back to the model to learn. So, as I mentioned, one of the challenges to be the confident, to understand what AI can provide, also be confident the result created by AI can be used in the production line. So that's why it's a lot of work. AI is not a, we only build one feature, you can do this. But AI is more about a continuously improvement, continuously human in the loop, continuous training. But the good news is AI is getting better and better, smarter and smarter. The new versions are coming up every day. All we need to do is work on the concept, work on the human in the loop, work the measurements, work on the connections. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, we'll play much bigger role for each team.
Let's go back. Before I get to my other questions, I've got plenty of questions for you here. Just keeping up with the chat here. Let's go to Kasuma Wardani. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name. Ask, and maybe this is obvious, but I would love to confirm it. So it will be subscription-based in terms of costs, depending on the data size and number of users. And I have a feeling, I might know the answer to this question when we're talking about cost, is it really depends upon the use case. And this is why you need to talk to an expert, schedule a demo, right?
Yeah, it depends on the needs. Some features are simple. You can just log in to work with. So we work on the SaaS model. So for example, remember, if you have financial software, HR software, you can create your own version of this specific flow. For your company logo, you can log in to do the soft services. We can come out a very good pricing plan with you. I'm not the guy making that decision. I'm the technical nerd building the features, but you talked already the marketing, the sales team. I'm pretty sure it's very affordable. It's very well customized the plan. But if you need more professional services, say I want to use a professional model, you build a Llama for us, you build a Llama 3.1 for us. That will be the difference, but still, compared with the traditional local application services, the AI is much, much cheaper and efficient and powerful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, just looking at the levels of customizability that you have here, I can imagine, like, the cost model is going to differ depending upon exactly what services are being offered. Let's go back to Krishna here, asks, but using AI features is to lower the cost, but here we need to pay double to AI service tool and also linguistics. What we want is the confidence score that we can trust. So let's address this, right? Because I can see people saying, like, oh, I'm already paying a localization vendor. I'm already paying a TMS provider, right? I'm paying quality assurance teams. Now this is just one more tool, one more vendor in my supply chain. Like, how is this going to blow my budget out of the water, or is it actually going to save me costs overall?
The goal is actually saving costs, right? Otherwise, why we do this? The saving cost is, for example, as I mentioned to you, this is a perfect example. We do more about this. For example, if they say, you know, if I give the score for each translation, that takes a fuzzy translation, we give the score. If it's 100%, we're confident this translation can go on publishing directly, or I do the sampling check with my linguistic. Or if a 95 score, 95 above, we can still consider it's okay for low priority content, we can publish directly. But this is a fuzzy matching mistake. You know, it's more than 85% fuzzy matched. So machine translation just took the translation, but it's one placeholder. AI can automatically fix that. So the idea is to save. We have worked with many, many customers, and the average save is more than 30 to 40%. Depends on the features, depends on the cases we actually did. you know, all of our customers already performed the budget, you know, cost saving and efficiency and accuracy and quality improvement. We have seen that a lot. So again, a short answer to your question, I think the goal is to save cost instead of increasing. And also, as I mentioned, from the technical point of view, we want to simplify it. We want to simplify the technology. We don't want to just add one more system, one more tool to you. We actually want to simplify the workflow as well.
It's the paradox. Yeah. Adding tools to simplify the process.
Another interesting example, I want to show you this.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah. So this one, we also use AI and combine with the traditional process detect the absolutely the errors from this. You know, it's many cases a human can easily skip, right? Mm. There's double code and the simple code, and we use all the traditional ways to identify. We use OI combinations to say it's uppercase or lowercase, the numbers are different. For example, this one, the two swords are the same, but the translation are different. So AI can identify the inconsistency, the translation, the target, and also can give decisions. So that's why we want to say, you know, we want to use all the possible possibilities to save the cost by using the AI engines. You know, again, another thing is you can create your own models. You don't have to depend on us. So we create a playground with you. So you can say that, for example, I want to fix the fuzzy matching translation. So you create a prompt, you can put your source and content, the target language to test it. It's a playground. After you confirm this, you can use it and also create a creative translation. You can adjust a creative level on the stuff. So again, using the system is not only adding a system, it's adding the features you didn't add, also bring the efficient and cost saving to the production.
Let's talk about workflows. I want to talk about workflows because this was my next question as well, but I also see Afina put a question here. What has been the experience of Centific Flow with complex localized workflows like gaming localization, right? And you talked quite a bit about the customizability of the project, of the tool. What is the importance of customizable workflows when developing a solution like this?
Each team, especially for enterprise localization, we're talking about the localization. We're not just talking about the translation article, the resume. We're talking about the production. We're talking about the software development. We're talking about the content management system. We're talking about those complex processes. Some companies have SMEs, have local customers, local team, local marketing team to do this as well. So the key is not only the integrating, but also customize this. You know, for gaming or for video and for community localization, all those features can be added. So the flexibility is the connection, right? The connection. So you can connect with the current system at any checkpoint, as I mentioned from the beginning. You don't have to do any recycling at the end there. You can do it from the beginning, send the file to the AI to do the translation, earn mining, source content analyzing. You can do this. Or you can still go through your current process, do the traditional way of the recycling. Go with your transition memory, do the fuzzy matching, and do those. And then after you feel confident or comfortable, you can export your files and put an AI to do the double check. Really depends. Different customers have different needs and a different customized workflow. And some people put AI before human, some people put AI after human, and then some people put AI at the very end. If we can connect with the current system by exchanging the files and with the same format, we don't add more columns, we don't add more data, we still use the XLEAF for talking to your current system. That works. We use API connectors to connect the systems. We also build integrations with the CMS systems.
Good. And next question here, before I get into Ms. Bellin's comments. Krishna asked, does this tool provide scores purely based on an AI model, or are they also using an MQM framework?
We actually customize this for different customers. The one you're seeing, we call the playground.
I knew the answer, right? It's like, it depends, right?
So,
it depends upon the requirements, right?
As I mentioned, we can create a scientific score for your company, all the features and customization. As I mentioned, you can say my score is my MQM score is different. Each company is different. There are categories between 1 to 5 or different categories. We can actually work with you. But we also need a lot of training to tell the AI what means the P1 bug, what's the P2 bug, what's the content bug category, what's the score, you know, how do we deduct, what's the score system. For example, some companies say 95 above is good, some teams say 85 above is good. So we train the model with you together by your systems.
Very cool. And I don't think this is a question, but I want to read it because it's some insights here. Belen, responding to Krishna, says, that's a good point. I think it depends on the company. And for context here, let's go to Krishna's address. But using AI features is to lower the cost, but we're here to pay double, blah, blah, blah. We already went over this comment. So responding to this, Belen says, I don't think a company will publish a string with 100 score directly to a game, to Afina's point. They will always want a human to check it, so it is not a good use case, but they might be able to use this for support pages or other content types with less risk and less visibility. The good thing about AI is that you can be creative on how to actually leverage it, but it's not a silver bullet for sure. Smiley face. I think we're all struggling to find ways to properly and efficiently operationalize it in a way that actually has a visible and tangible project impact. And that exactly is why I wanted to bring you on today to talk about that visible and tangible impact here. But I don't think that AI has reached silver bullet status yet, where it's a magic wand, right? And I don't think that's the claim. Forgive me if I'm wrong, and your marketing message is this will solve all of your problems all of the time perfectly.
No, we never said that. What you're saying is, you know, we want to bring the AI features to your product, to your production line. We want to introduce that. We want to let you to be able to build a dedicated AI models with the professional services. As I mentioned, and many, many years ago, when I started local edition services in large companies, machine translation came out. The first machine translation was so bad, and Google had a better machine translation analysis AI. Even we didn't like the machine translation engine, the original engine, we still tried to align to use those, implementing this, to train the model. Machine translation engines were, you know, evaluating that. That's how the effort was. And the AI, it's still the early stage, but as you're saying, ChatGPT 5 is coming up. We don't know what's coming up, but we put a new version coming out every month. So it's not about only the performance, it's only about the features. Actually, it's more about how to implement, how to train the model, how to learn how to work together to build a dedicated client. And we have been working with many customers, build so many features and 30 different features in the localization, internationalization, video indexing features. Those features are very interesting. You know, sometimes we have bugs and sometimes we have issues and blockers, but put a human in the loop, right? You will be confident after the output. You always need a human in the loop, not only for verify the AI created content or AI created score, but also in your model, to train your model to provide a better result.
Well, and you said something very that struck a chord with me. It's about how to get started, right? Because
yes.
We talked to, I know you talk to a lot of clients out there, buyers. Certainly we talk to a lot of buyers here at MZ Insights. And one question that kind of comes up in different ways, in different forms, in different contexts is how do I get started with AI? Like, what's the starting point here? And I think the technology isn't mature enough. It hasn't been around enough where people want to throw everything into an AI engine and completely revamp their systems, but they do want to make sure that they're staying on top of the trends and playing around with it and experimenting with it. So I guess my question to you would be, for those wanting to get started using large language models, where can they start? You know, can you tell me a little bit about the open source models? What are the advantages and disadvantages of using open source versus custom? What are some scenarios where it would make sense to use one or the other? Because I think the barrier to entry here is not as high as a lot of people are perceiving it to be?
Yes, yes, that's a very good question. There are a lot of open source models. The Llama 3.1 has been released. There are many people using that. People think the open source models are more secure, flexible. I can train it, I can use that, I can host it. But for us, it's more, I've seen many cases talking to different customers. The first thing I would recommend, identify the needs, right? Do you need to spend money to deploy the model or the GPU or the host the server? Do you need to spend those money? Because it requires a lot of resources and professional engineering work to maintain those. Or you just basically need, you can use the general model to train it to get your needs. And you can be confident with also the security and other stuff. Also, the second thing is, besides understanding your needs, evaluate the cost. The cost of large one model is different. For example, if you use the ChatGPT, they charge a few dollars for how many tokens. But if you have your self-host model, how much will it cost for different GPUs and the different services, different subscription, you have to deploy the maintaining this, and what's the costs. And also the third one will be select the right model because different models have a comparing different features and different languages support group. Some models support more languages, support more less. As a professional team, we actually combine, depends on the needs and the different models, we combine them together. And the last one will be the identify the training data. You need to improve the model, even your subhold or general model, you need to train it. So you need to create the training data side and what kind of using you want to do that. Of course, after your training, you need to evaluate, you need to create train bars, and you have to build a human loop of feedback to train it. More importantly, please keep in mind the security, privacy requirements and compliance. Those are the bigger issue for the company for action.
Yeah. So.
And I always forgot to mention, find an AI partner, talk to us, talk to any professional team that can actually join and work with you to customize the process. We were more than happy to do so. As I mentioned, we'll be in the lock for. We have a booth, not only the shows. Talk to us.
Oh, you're fancy.
To be the lock.
You've got a booth.
Yes. We have a booth because we have a lot of requirements. I want to see that one discuss with us. So come to Lockware. I will be more than happy to learn your needs and discuss the solutions with you.
Oh, good. Well, I will certainly see you there. And I'm just watching the clock here and look like we're running a little low on time. I did want to bring, I remember back in the day when Belen would co-host these things with me, and it was just much easier because she has great insights. But now she's in the chat, and I want to read her last comment. I think it's a good place to end here. Belen says, what I appreciate about tools like Syntific is that they allow companies without advanced technical and engineering capabilities to leverage advanced AI features, which I think is key. Not everyone can develop such advanced interfaces that make it easy to connect with all the different tech out there. Large language models, automatic speech recognition, neural machine translation, synthetic voices, etc. And I like this comment because it kind of encapsulates my takeaway from today, which is, and you just said it as well, talk to an expert. Right. If you're feeling overwhelmed with all of the advances with large language models, artificial intelligence, all of that stuff, that's okay. There are experts out there that you can talk to, and you don't need to be an expert. You just need to have an expert's phone number that you can talk to. Right.
One thing I always want to mention is it's not only we're building the tool, it's not building our feature. We actually want to work closely with our customer. It's the one thing I always want to show. It's a little thing. Look at here. So for each model usage, for each API call, for any time you run the action with AI, we show the token used for each particular action.
Oh, that's
how
nice.
Many input. Token, how many output token, what's the total token, what's the source content, how many words, how many. So we want to be super transparent with our customer.
Yeah.
So you don't have you don't worry about it. What's the black box? That's the trust we want to build, right? But using AI, It's all about the trust.
Yeah.
You trust the quality, you trust the security, you trust the cost. Yeah.
And that's super nice because one of the thing, in my opinion, one of the barriers to really rolling out AI solutions on a larger scale for a lot of people is the lack of transparency and the lack of predictability when it comes to cost, you know, because yeah. it's billed yeah. by tokens. Well, what the heck is a token? How much does a token cost? How much is,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so that's nice that you provide that directly in the tool. There.
Yeah, yeah, we do everything. So you look at it, if you, every time you run the AI query, AI work, track the work every time, you know, who did that, when was that, work as a team, all the costs will be transparent. Again, it's only the feature. It's about the service, it's about the customer, it's about the trust. So that's talk to us. I've been more than happy to learn from you, not only to work with you, the customer, but I would like to learn your needs, to learn your challenge, which can also help me improve ourselves as well.
Yeah, guys, if you're listening to this, if you're going to be at LocalWorld, drop by the Centific booth, get a custom demo, get a private demo from the man himself here, Wei. If you're not going to be at LocalWorld, reach out. These guys are very, very accessible. Comment here, email them, LinkedIn, however you want to get a hold of Centific. And I do see there's one last comment. I'm going to give you homework ways to go through the comments afterwards and make sure that you're responding to all of these people with their questions. One last comment about term-based injecting features. And unfortunately, we're out of time today. So I'm going to wrap it up here. But I will give you any last word, Wei, before we wrap up for today.
Thank you so much. The Centific Flow Multimedia are part of our AI Data Foundry International Services. We have a lot of other features. For example, we have a platform to help you to train the model, to onboard the model, you know, to write teaming and other features. We do. We are the AI company. So a lot of features, a lot of systems that I didn't have time to show you, but talk to us. And also, I would like to learn more. Thank you so much. And thank you, Tucker. Thank you for Lindsay for being a good partner with us. I appreciate that. Looking forward. I will go to the chat. I will also feel free to connect with me in the LinkedIn. I will be more than happy to connect with industry experts. Thank you, Tucker, for your
help. Yes, sir. Thank you very much, ladies. Gentlemen, chat, we are out of time today. If you enjoy this NIMSY live experience, then join us tomorrow when we're talking to Hamid Afsari from Uber about some exciting, cool localization services that they are promoting. Very cool that Uber is throwing their hat into the ring. So join us to talk to Hamid tomorrow. Same time, same channel. I appreciate our guest today, Wei. I appreciate my colleagues here at NIMSY Insights and the colleagues over at Centific that did all of the prep work to make this possible and add value to you guys, the audience. I appreciate all of the hard work my team members are doing here at NIMSY Insights so that I can have these fun conversations. And finally, I appreciate you, the audience, everyone that was joining us live today and being very active in the comments section. And I look forward to next time. Cheers. We'll